Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we talk about players sitting out and being infected, you know, with this virus. We talk about it from the player standpoint. We've talked about it a lot, you know, with the NBA players that have contracted the virus, the NBA players that have opted out. Same thing with Major League Baseball, in particular here with the Houston Astros. We just got done discussing, but there's, you know, the idea of like coaches that aren't really discussed. And I know, you know, I think it was a couple of members of the Minnesota Twins staff. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, but he's a first year pitching coach. Just got hired to be the bullpen coach. That's what it is. Never been on a big league roster before. Never been on a big league team as a coach before. And here's your first go around. And he's gone ahead and decided that, you know, he's not going to be a part of the team this year. That's a tough decision that you have to make, right? And not just for, you know, your family, but, you know, look, for your career, something you've always dreamed of is being a major league coach. You've dreamed of maybe being a NBA assistant coach or an NBA head coach. This is actually a real deal. And I did not know that there was a head coach actually in question. But apparently there is, Cecil. The status for head coach of the Pelicans, Alvin Gentry, is actually up in the air on whether or not he'll be around for the NBA's reboot. He's 65 and is apparently yet to make a decision for his return. He, along with a number of assistant coaches, and one in particular, former Rockets assistant coach Jeff Bisdelic, is considering sitting out the season as well. I think Lionel Hollins is another one. You talk about the trickle-down effect and a trend. I mean, there are a lot of guys. This was already an issue, a conversation, right? Maybe a question that was brought about whenever Adam Silver, the NBA's commissioner, you know, made public what the NBA's guidelines are going to be, but also the concerns for, you know, its coaches. You probably have older personnel in baseball and in the NBA than you do in the NFL. So the NFL's not necessarily going to have to worry too much about that. You know, look, there's guys like Wade Phillips. There's guys like Romeo Crennel. They're few and far between in the NFL, I would probably say. Pete Carroll's another one, though. That guy, like, I don't know how old he is. He's maybe, like, closer to 70 than 60 these days. But the dude's energy level's closer to 30 than it is anything else. That guy's just nuts. This is the real situation, though, and I'm glad you found this because I hadn't seen it. What do you think about the situation with the coaches in the NBA, really throughout across sport?
I didn't even think about it. You know, I was so focused on the players and the games actually being played when, you know, when you think about, I was reading an article, I think it was the assistant coaches for the Pelicans, like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to come back, or he's not going to come back. And then Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the Pelicans, is like, I'm not sure if it's safe for me to come back. And, you know, what it does to older people. You know what I mean? It's just sad because there's so much that goes into the game plan. And the assistant coaches are so heavily involved with the game plan. And the assistant coaches are so heavily involved with relationships with the players. You know what I mean? It might be an assistant coach that works out Zion Williamson for jump shots. It might be an assistant coach that's helping him watch film. So that's going to be a key part of that organization.
Right.
Possibly not in the building or not in the bubble, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, when you say that, I immediately think of guys like John Lucas. Who works closely with the Houston Rockets. I used to for over the years. Now he's part of the staff, and Calvin Murphy as well is a member of the broadcast team. But, you know, they've never been shy. I mean, there was probably a few years that they didn't really reach out to him. But, I mean, he helps and is, you know, look, he reports on the team and calls the games. He's around these guys all the time as well. But, you're exactly right when you talk about the extension of the staff and guys that help these players function. It's going to be different. This whole thing, part of it, what makes it watered down is because it's going to be different, and it's going to be, you're dealing with less personnel, and you're not dealing with these athletes in peak performance because they're not used to the daily grind. Mm-hmm. They might be in peak health right now because, well, all you've had to do for the last 3.5 months is get on the mend and work out. And if you're James Harden, transform your body, drop about 15 pounds of baby fat, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. But there's other guys that are just not in game shape, and they won't have those guys to help them get in game shape. The whole avenue or way of going about preparing game in and game out is just going to be completely different. And doing it without key assistant coaches like some of these teams are potentially facing, that's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. Just knowing, going off of my experience in the NFL and what the assistant coaches did there, they did a lot of hands-on work. They did a lot of preparing. They did a lot of scouting. They did a lot of communicating with their specific position groups. And I can only imagine the NBA is the same way and the MLB is the same way. So when you don't have assistant coaches, and then the Pelicans are talking about they might not have their head coach, that's a huge deal. Yeah. And if you're not able to coach this year, hopefully things slow down, it's a chance that he might not coach the following year, depending on how things are going on right now. Right. So it's just a trickle down effect that we can't just think about the players alone. You got to think about the coaching staff and the front office.
Just everybody involved in an organization. I even thought of Indians bench coach, former Astro manager Brad Mills, who is not going to be around the team this season at all. He's opted out, not necessarily for fear of the virus, I don't think. That might have been cited in Terry Francona's statement this weekend, but people forget Brad Mills was in the news a few months ago now, back in February. His grandson drowned, and so he's found it very difficult at the time then to leave his family and get ramped up for spring training before the stoppage, and then this virus hits. And now he's back with the team. He's just said, I can't be away from the family at this point in time. So there's a variety of different issues out there for everybody, or reasons rather, that they may or may not choose, to continue with their jobs and be around teams this year. So I thought about Brad Mills in that fashion. But I mentioned this earlier. Sean Doolittle, pitcher for the Washington Nationals, he had some interesting things to say this weekend in regards to just sports overall coming back. And he said this quote. I want you guys to tell me what you think about this. As I sit here talking to you guys, I still don't have my test results from Friday's test. So I got tested again this morning without the results of my test from Friday. We've got to clean that up, right? That's one thing that makes me a little nervous. And he went on to talk about, I'm trying to find the exact quotes here. I think there's still some doubt that we're going to have a season. By no means is this a slam dunk. We're trying. We're going to give it our best effort. But for me to sit here and say 100%, it would be a lie in terms of feeling and being as safe as possible, even in and around his own current bubble with the Washington Nationals. And I mentioned this earlier. His whole contention this weekend in talking to the media was sports should be kind of like a reward for the way that society has kind of handled this pandemic. And, you know, I think he, along with a lot of other people, probably feel like it's not been done the most effective and efficient way. And everybody from federally to state to even local governments have been on different pages throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate. It's honestly probably unfair. It's probably unfair for the players and the coaching staff and everybody in the front office they have to learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable in this situation. But you're talking about your life here. You're talking about others here. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just not something that if a guy's not comfortable coming into work every day, if a guy's not comfortable coming in to the office or to the radio station every day, they probably shouldn't come.
Yeah, but you also shouldn't.
What's the real? Is it worth it? I keep saying in my head, is it worth to come to work? Is it worth to go out there and play sports right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really worth to play sports?
should you feel obligated to? Obligated is the wrong word, really. What I mean to ask you is should they have to do this? Like, basically, he's asking the question, should we be back at all?
Yeah.
And here's the exact quote. We're trying to bring baseball back during a pandemic that's killed 130,000 people. We're way worse off as a country than we were in March when we shut this thing down. And like, look, where other developed countries are in their response to this, we haven't done any of the things that other countries have done to bring sports back. Sports are like the reward of a functioning society, and we're trying to just bring it back even though we've taken none of the steps to flatten the curve. If there aren't sports, Doolittle says, it's going to be because people are not wearing masks because the response to this has been so politicized. We need the help from the general public. If they want to watch baseball, please wear a mask, social distance, keep washing your hands. End quote from Sean Doolittle of the Washington Nationals. And he's not wrong here, in my opinion. I think he hits the nail on the head. He's absolutely right. But he's back doing it. He's back with his team doing it. He's just not sure if he should be doing it. And I asked the question, well, why? Well, it kind of comes down to dollars and cents for a lot of these guys, doesn't it? I mean, it's easy for, you know, us to look and say, like, well, look, even the league minimum guys are making $500,000 per, and in a prorated amount this year, they're still doing pretty well. Well, I mean, I always struggle with that because you don't know how that other person's done or what other responsibilities they have to family and things like that, other financial obligations. Like, I'm not going to just flat out say, like, hey, you're making a lot of money, you should be good. You just don't know, okay?
Yeah.
I just kind of go ahead and am reserved to the fact that, you know what, you make what you make, and my business with what you do with your money is exactly none, okay? And there are a lot of guys that are going to lose a lot of money because they opt out, that don't have the service time, that don't have the accrued millions.
Yeah.
And they're going to be looked as they're going to be ostracized, I think, to some degree. You could get to that point. Is it happening now? No, but it could be that.
I'm going to go back to your point of you said obligated is the wrong word. I think it's the right word, because what Doolittle just said, he feels, if he's doing it, that's how I put it, if he's doing it, but he feels like he should.
I guess he does have a lot.
He's questioning he's doing it, right? But he's there. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's obligated to be there.
Yeah.
Right? So he feels like he has to be there for some type of reason, whether it's money, whether it's his commitment to the team, whatever he feels like he's obligated to be there.
Yeah.
And that's a feeling that's a real feeling. And that's a battle you have to have. You have to make a decision. Okay. Is this worth whatever you may feel is not worth? Right. Is this worth doing? Is this worth the risk that I'm doing? Right. And everybody is so different for everybody. Like you mentioned, if you are Bryce Harper, 10 years, 300 plus million, you're going to be all right. Right?
You're
going to be fine. But if you're a second year player trying to get your foot in the door and you're trying to make the team and you're in the bubble to make the roster and this is a great opportunity for you, do you take the risk of not playing?
Right.
It's just a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
And it's a hard decision, but I'm right. But I agree with
think about those tough decisions that football players are going to have to make. Like, we were talking Friday when the news came down, like, there's going to be smaller rosters, right? It might go from 90 to 85, maybe even, 75, right?
Yeah.
They haven't settled on a number yet, I don't believe. And I don't think they have to for a little bit. But think about if you're one of those 15 dudes, right? If the rosters are trimmed from 90 to 75, and you're one of those 15 dudes that would have been on a roster that had an opportunity to make a spot in at a training camp,
yeah.
Even if it's on a practice squad. You make practice squad, you stay on there the whole season, you're making $100,000 or something like that, maybe $150,000, whatever it is nowadays. That's a real decision because, well, what if those guys have newborns at home? Or what if they're expecting?
Yeah.
Or what if they've got people they live with pre-existing conditions and things like that, but they're trying to make a living and that's the only way they know how to do it? You're going to hear plenty of those stories, I think, here in the next month plus as NFL and even college begin to get ramped up. It's going to be some big-time names, especially if the numbers stay exactly where they are around the country. With this virus. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you'd like to get in, you can call or text. Coming up next, burning questions ahead of the Rockets reboot. Next at Sports Radio 610. In for Payne and Pendergast this morning, Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts III. Welcome back at Sports Radio 610. Ben Gary producing. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Want to hear from you guys this segment. You can call or text in. Your burning questions ahead of the Rockets reboot. Cecil and I have got a few, as the NBA gets set to resume basketball activities here in just about 3 days. They'll be in the bubble in Orlando. Camp down there is going to be running from the 9th until the 29th, with the regular season resuming on the 30th. The Rockets 40-24 before all this mess hit about 3.5 months or so ago. They were in the 6th seed, jumbled up right there. Could have been 6-5 or 4. It was pretty tight, Cecil. So ahead of this reboot, I saw the latest numbers last night. The Rockets 6-1 favorites to win the West, according to Caesar Sportsbook. Probably pretty fair. And if you could probably guess the other two teams that are ahead of them out of the West, the Los Angeles Lakers and the LA Clippers. Mm-hmm. Some of the biggest questions from a basketball standpoint surrounding the Rockets, like if I was to ask you your biggest concern, I guess a question, I guess in synonymous with a concern that you have about the Rockets going back into the season would be what?
Will they last? You know, I think when I say that, when they first started this small ball, they were hot. Things were rolling, mm-hmm. right? But towards right before they end up stoppage of play, to me, they looked worn down. They mm-hmm. looked tired because they're playing the small ball lineup. They're going against bigger guys. They're banging. They're hustling. And to play that ball, you have to be able to run. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to out hustle, out rebound, and get the ball and go. You got to play on both sides of the ball. And I think it wore down some. So it's like a guy like PJ Tucker, guys like who else is on the wing. So will it last? As far as can they sustain the energy? Because I think they're going to come out on fire. I think Russell Westbrook is going to lead this team to the point, and I say Russell Westbrook lead the team from an energy standpoint, from a mentality standpoint. Of course, James Harden is going to be the main scorer. He's the MVP of the team. But I think Russell is going to get these guys going early, but can they sustain it throughout the playoffs?
I think it's a really good question. That was definitely one of mine as well, is, you know, can they be effective without a true center?
Yeah.
And yeah. They were 8-6 with their small lineup, and yeah, the results there definitely mixed. I think they had a 6-game win streak, but everybody remembers that losing streak and how they kind of petered out towards the stoppage of play. Yeah, they lost to the Knicks, they lost to the Hornets, yeah. They lost to the Magic.
Yeah,
I mean, there were some bad teams, and they played some bad basketball down the stretch there before the stoppage of play. So that has to be like systematically. Their biggest question going in is, can they continue to play small? They looked really good at times, but then they looked not so good at times against some not so really good teams.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you remember back with those teams like the Knicks and the Hornets and the Magic, you know, they had some bigger players. They weren't some very good teams, but they had bigger players that just gave, from a mismatch standpoint, the Rockets a little bit of a fit. What happens when you face off of a really good team with bigger players that are going to beat you on the boards,
yeah.
that are going to make it more difficult to drive in the lane so frequently, as Mike D'Antoni really wants his guys to do? Drive and kick, keep shooting that three, baby. I mean, that is systematically going to be something to watch probably in the first couple of three games, but I almost feel like it's already built in for us to overanalyze it because you got 8 regular season games before the dang tournament starts.
That's very
As soon as
true.
You get into that's a flow, true. If you get into a flow, it's like, it's right man, there. These games really do count now.
It's right there. So it's going to be interesting. I think it depends on the matchups too, right? So if they're going against like Denver and Jokic, and you got to bang with him down low, and the price that comes with that, and how talented he is as a passer and everything like that, or the LA Lakers. When they can be huge. Say they got Dwight Howard and LeBron and whoever else comes.
Dwight's not going to be playing though.
Is he not? Is it official?
Or yeah,
is it still out there.
I mean, the last I heard, he was opting out. Like the Lakers were not going to fill his roster spot. Like as to say, like if you choose to come back, like okay. Your spot's going to be here. But the cynical part of me took that as like, yeah, we're not going to fill your roster spot, but kind of like we don't need you anyway. Because they went out and got J.R. Smith.
J.R., that's one of my favorite players of all time. So I got like a bad Bad Boys I should say bad boy. If I got like a bad boy starting five, and he's my starting two guard.
All right, that's
I love J.R. Smith. That's besides the point.
Like bad boys, like Rodman's probably got to be on that one.
Rodman's
too, right?
On there. I got some interesting guys on there.
Charles Oakley would probably be one. Would Oakley and Mason be on there? Like when you think of bad boys,
Rasheed Wallace is on there.
Oh yeah.
But to be honest, if the Rockets are going against other guys like the Clippers, I think the Clippers match up well with the Rockets, right? They can go small ball with the Rockets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the favor of the Rockets just because, okay, it's small ball on small ball. Let's just see who's better rather than going against somebody that has the
right
height and size and the weight against you, and eventually you'll wear down, in my opinion. So even though the Clippers probably have the better roster, and then with Dwight being out in L.A., the Lakers probably have the better roster, you still give the Rockets still have a better chance, to me, without going against bigs because they don't have any bigs themselves.
Yeah, I really like the Rockets roster. It's funny. I've gone through kind of like ups and downs this season with the Rockets team, you know, because I was a Clint Capella fan. I mean, there was nobody that I enjoyed watching more on a year-in and year-out basis than Clint Capella here in recent years, just to see how he was going to evolve.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, for my money, like, certainly from a Rockets standpoint of view, could have gotten most improved player every single year because he found some way, somehow, to improve his game. Now, in terms of, like, his versatility on offense and the different kind of shots that he was able to take and make, yeah, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But just the way that he was able to get free and exploit defenses. And I still contend that if the Rockets would have let that guy do so, he could have had a nice little mean sweeping hook in the lane, which was very effective for a little bit, you know? I mean, yeah, that's going maybe a little old school Will Chamberlain, you think it in my mind. But
yes,
no, like
that's what I was thinking too.
He had that shot, you know? I think they shortchanged him a little bit, but I think the Rockets have a really good roster themselves.
They do, but I'm looking at the Lakers roster, right? Because I think the Rockets can get by most of the Western Conference. I'm just being honest. I think the biggest two rivals or competitors for the Rockets would be the LA teams.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm looking at their roster. You got JaVale McGee, who maybe Dwight Howard. You say he's going to, so probably not Dwight Howard. And you got Anthony Davis. Not to mention LeBron James, who's big as all get out as well. That's tough for consistently – for those guys to go up against,
yep,
on a regular basis. Now you go against the Clippers. Like I said, I think
some versatile big dudes, man.
It's just they can do it all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It just makes it a little tougher.
Look, that's gonna be tough.
Those guys,
that's gonna be tough, Cecil. But like, if you were to ask me, like, give me one reason why you're so confident, Bijani, in the Rockets being able to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got so darn close against the Golden State Warriors a couple of times here in recent years. And that was like the power of the NBA. And the Warriors were doing that season in and season out, just mowing folks down during the regular season, mowing folks down during the postseason. And when they met the Rockets, that was a series. That was a series, especially in the 17-18 postseason. You know, how it ended with Chris Paul and the Rockets having two opportunities in Game 6 and 7 to take care of business. It's based off of that, and I know not everybody's back from that team, but, you know, look, Harden's kind of been through that. Russell Westbrook, by the way, has been through his, you know, turbulent moments in postseasons, okay, whether it be with the Thunder or whatever, but the Los Angeles Lakers haven't had this team for years on end. They just put this thing together themselves, just as the Rockets have kind of pieced some of the better pieces together for this season. And that duo in the backcourt, I feel like, is as good as anything, if not as better than most. And they can give the Lakers or the Clippers or whoever, even the Bucks, if they make it to the finals, a run for their money.
The good thing about it is I think everybody's in the same boat, right? Everybody's coming back. And you mentioned it. You put this in the rundown. The way James Harden worked this pandemic gives me hope.
Yeah.
The way he transformed his body just in these 3 months gives me hope. Like, listen, this dude sees it, sees the, like, his eyes is on the prize right now. He understands what this means.
Mm-hmm.
He's focused. He's ready to go. For him to lose that baby fat and to be, I mean, the fact that he's out here working says a lot to me. Cause I didn't expect that from James Harden. No knock against him, but I just didn't expect to see him looking like that coming back. Just off his history. And maybe I'm wrong for that. But
that's fair though.
I don't feel like he is when I think of Russell Westbrook, I know he's going to be ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what you think, James Harden? You think, you know, he's more laid back, more chill.
You still remember that time he was dating a Kardashian? That's why.
That's what I'm thinking. But the fact that he's ready to go, it gets me excited.
Yeah. I got a couple of more questions for you in regards to the Rockets that I didn't get to. So we'll cover some burning questions you have for the Rockets ahead of the reboot on the other side. Also, Cecil was under some big time pressure with his kiddo here recently. I want to know the most pressure you've ever felt from your kid as a parent. We'll talk about it next in Sports Radio 610. In for Payne and Pendergast this morning alongside Cecil Shorts III. I'm Sean Bajani. 713-572-4610 is how you can get in. 713-572-4610 here on Sports Radio 610. Talking a little Houston Rocket basketball and some of their biggest questions heading into the reboot ahead of camp getting started on the 9th. Couple of texts here in regards to, you know, we were talking systematically about small ball and things like that.
Right.
One texter says small ball works in small doses like Golden State. They only do it like a quarter of the time, so the Rockets got to do the same. Can't always use it, but you have to demoralize the opposing team. Another texter says you got to worry about what kind of shape big men will be in after this layoff. Rockets might run circles around them.
And they could. They could. We'll see.
Ocho says James Harden looks unhealthy to me. I think he looks fantastic.
He looks awesome. And it's bigger than the look. It's just the fact that he's working. You know what I mean? I think he's just seeing him work, put in the effort. It's like, all right, he's serious about this comeback. And him and Westbrook are gonna shake some heads when he comes back.
I just wonder, like, in what area of the game does Harden's physical transformation, you know, like improve the most? Like, is it defensively and like who he's able to guard? You know, can he handle like some of the bigger body guys now? You know, that he lost a little bit of that weight, but is he stronger? Does he have a stronger base?
Right.
Is he going to be a little bit better coming off of like switches and things like that because he doesn't have that weight? Maybe he's
a little quicker,
more agility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm thinking like you can't do much better offensively than what James Harden's been doing
over the last
3 years, right?
Maybe on the defensive end. Maybe, you know, he'll be able to have a little more endurance because he's doing so much on offense that he'll be able to do a little bit. And I think he's improved on the defense end, but maybe just do a little bit more. Maybe he can go for a steal here and there or be able to switch or fight through a switch, whatever the case may be. So we'll see how that adjusts, but I'm just excited to see him in this type of shape.
I was asking my brother last night.
Because he was funny built. He was a funny built basketball
player. He was.
He had like a little gut.
He had good size. Like
good size, but gut. He had a six-pack gut. Like, you ever had a six-pack gut?
Like, you knew Harden had guns, but, like, you know, it was a little, he could have trimmed up a little bit around the bicep
there
area.
You go.
And, you know, he's done that for sure. I was asking my brother last night, Ali, who writes for The Athletic, about the Luke Bamute signing.
Mm.
And I said, dude, tell me what you think about Bamute and how he's going to be used, how he fits in, since, you know, yeah, he's been here before, but he hasn't been with this squad all season long. What do you expect from him? Like, what role? And my bro said he's hearing that, you know, Bamute's still got to do some tests, you know, on his knee and stuff like that, make sure he's good to go. But if he's healthy, like, you know, he'd probably be pretty good. I just kind of worry a little bit about, you know, you don't have much time to kind of find your role,
you
know. But look, you got 20 some odd days of camp. I mean, a lot can be done there.
Regular season games?
Not in the regular season, but, you know, you got 20 days of camp to kind of figure things out with your team. But, yeah, it does come down to games played and how effective and efficient you're going to be against real competition.
I just think it's going to be real hard to find your role this late in the year and you're coming to a new team. Yes, you can practice all you want, but it's different when you are subbing into a game, right? It's different when you're actually in the game and you're going in and you have a role in the team and playing in a real game with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and PJ and all those guys. It's different knowing your role on the squad. So he's a veteran. He's been around. He's been here before, but he hasn't played with this particular team before. If that makes sense, with the makeup of the team, how it is now and how they're going about the small ball.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
It's going to be interesting to see. I hope it works, but I just think it's tough. I don't know how big of a role that he honestly will have.
I asked him that question because you know how high I was on Luke Bamute coming back last week whenever we first heard the news. And I was like, man, you know, this guy was a clear difference maker a few years ago before he gotten hurt in the postseason. And he just he couldn't do anything in the postseason. Like, he just had no liftoff. I mean, there was one game in particular. I think it was in that Golden State Warriors series, mid-series.
if he had gotten a dunk to go down, I think that would have given him the confidence and just done something like psyche-wise to the Rockets and him to propel them past. But, like, I never forget, it was a baseline dunk. It was a feed from the top of the key, and he had it, and he just missed that dunk. It was, like, partially blocked, like, by the rim and a defender's hand.
Oh, so he got hung.
It just, yeah, but he didn't have that lift off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He dunks that 9 times out of 10, and he didn't get it to go down. And I just remember that in one moment. I'm like, man, that could have changed the game. Mm-hmm. That could have changed the series. You never know how those things go. I'm still a little bitter.
True.
Still a little bitter if you can't tell. But those are my biggest questions. 713-572-4610. If you want to share yours via the text line, we can definitely get to some of those. You were telling me a little bit about we were talking baseball earlier. And how you used to do coach pitch with your son and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was in reference to really this Masahiro Tanaka getting beaned by a Giancarlo Stanton liner over the weekend. Scary moment at Yankee Stadium for them. And you hate to see that anytime, but certainly, like, after a reboot like this, just a couple of days into workouts, I mean, that was a tough deal. That's a lot of pressure, though, when you're in the situation like you are in with your kid.
Yeah.
You know, where it's coach pitch. You're not trying to strike the kids out. You're trying to serve it up there for them and put them in the most successful position possible. And you were saying, you know, you were worried about liners coming right back at you. I forgot to ask you, did your kiddo line one back at you?
He did. I felt like he was mad at me. So
that's good, though.
Like, no, it was good. He's a good little ball player. He's in kid pitch now. He's playing select ball now for the Fireballers over in Pearland.
Is it 9-year-old?
9-year-old, right? Yep. And they're playing in the 10U league, and they're really good.
God, I can't believe.
They're really good. Like, this, it's fun to watch. So they had a scrimmage last Friday, and he had a triple. He had a single, stealing bases. He's having fun.
What?
He's enjoying it. Second base, third base right now. But he got some really good coaches out there, so I'm excited to see him go from there. But coach pitch, man, listen, the pressure that's in coach pitch. Like, it's ridiculous. So we started
on the kids, all on you, right?
All on me. So I love baseball, but I'm not as fluent in baseball as I would be in football, if that makes sense. So I was with the coach that he was the manager, aka head coach, and I was the assistant coach.
Yeah.
So he knew all the schemes and stuff we wanted to do, and I said schemes and stuff. We were calling plays, and we had different ways to line up. We were really good our first year coach pitch. We were 18-0 going to the game I'm gonna get to, right? So that year, we had a really good team. We had some kids that were like all-stars, basically. So early in the year, I'm pitching to them, and they're cracking the ball. I focus on the glove and the spot. And you got to remember, the kid is learning how to catch.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, hold the glove up. Let me just give me a target so I can hit you, and I can get the kids to boom. So every kid likes the ball in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So as the season goes on, we're winning games. They're killing the ball. I'm figuring out the places they like it. They're talking to me. It's going well. But the hardest part of pitching is pitching to your own son.
Yeah.
For whatever the reason, when he come up, I get just gets extremely nervous. I'm like, oh, if anybody needs to hit the ball, my son got to hit the
like
ball.
Halfway when the ball's like halfway to the plate, you're like, don't swing at that.
I'm like, no, I would say that. I would yell, no, after I pitch it. And then it's weird because the rules were the 6 total pitches. Or no, the 5th pitch you got to swing. That's the last pitch.
Yeah,
in coach pitch, right? So of course you string 3 strikeouts and you're out. But 3 strikes and you're out. But the 5th pitch you have to swing.
Yeah.
But the pitcher is not allowed to talk. So our head coach was over there talking. Hey, 5th pitch you got to swing, and I'll throw a dirt ball or something. And it's like he looks at me like, Dad, what the heck? Like, what are you doing?
I'm Vladimir Guerrero and I can lift this thing off the dirt?
I'm like, sorry. And it depends. A different kid, different time. But pitching to your son was so much pressure. So, real quick, we're 18-0. We go to the championship game. And in the championship game, we're playing this team called the Rangers, right? So, we all pick teams throughout the MLB who we want to be. That particular year, I think we were the Red Sox, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're playing against the Rangers. The Rangers are really good. And their coaching staff is actually coaching my son for select ball. But anyways, we're going to him. We had the better team. Like, mm-hmm. We're all excited. Let's go. I'm taking it. I'm walking up listening to music. I'm taking it all serious because I'm a part of the game, right?
Yeah.
I'm a part of the game. So I get there and I go up and the first inning comes. And I think we got like 2 runs in. They got 2 runs. Second inning comes. I strike out a couple of guys. They strike out a couple of guys, mm-hmm. right? Third inning comes. I lost it. I couldn't pitch no more. Like, I literally couldn't find the glove. Huh? I couldn't find it to save my life. And it's like, I've been in adverse situations before. I'm like, all right, just, you'll be fine. Keep fighting. I couldn't find it. And I'm like, sweating, and the parents are like, just throw the ball. What are you doing?
You felt the wrath of the parents.
I felt the wrath of the Little League parents. Lord. I felt the wrath of the kids just looking at me like, come on, coach. Like, what's going on? Give me a shot. I mean, I'm throwing high, throwing low. I'm hitting kids. I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
You know, you're kind of like my golf game. I'm a much better golfer when I don't warm up and I just go out there and I hit the ball and I'm not trying and I'm not thinking.
Yes.
But when I really try and I'm like trying to warm up on I'm terrible. Hashtag
that's
yesterday.
That's what happened.
You text me, hey, what are you doing? First, Cecil yesterday texts me, goes, hey, do you like chess? Do you know how to play chess? And I'm like, I'm on like the third hole. And I'm like, thinking like, does Cecil want to get together and like play chess with me? Like, I don't know. Like, no, I've always wanted to learn. That was my response. And he goes, I said, I'm playing golf right now. He goes, oh, living the dream. No, I was just wondering because I was reading this article about Deshaun Watson and chess. And I'm like, what?
It was because totally random. Sorry.
It's like, damn, he doesn't want to get together and play chess with me. All right.
It's not something. I'll learn with you, but I have no idea how to play chess. No clue.
Yeah. I'm going to need, I would need like a really patient teacher for that kind of stuff. 713-572-4610. Let's get out to Tony on the mobile. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much. Good. What's going on today?
Oh, well, I was telling Ben, I just wanted to talk about how y'all been talking about all of our, like, James Harden taking a turn and Deshaun Watson is, you know, doing things to kind of boost up his game.
Yeah.
And I just really feel like that with all that's going on, that Houston has a chance to bring home three championships with all three pro team. I'm sorry. Deshaun is already a prolific quarterback as it is, you know, but he's going to try to take it to another level, and I think that can be done. And with James and Russell, I think we'll be able to do it. And, you know, the pandemic, for all the bad things that it might be, might have helped us out a little bit. So, I feel like that we could do that.
You know what, Tony? Those are some really good points that you made, and I appreciate the phone call and the confidence, right?
Oh, I love the confidence.
But that last part that Tony was talking about, she brought up, that was a question we talked about kind of at length last week on one of our shows, the Friday show that we did, I think, right? You know, like what Houston team has the opportunity to be the most successful given this pandemic, right? And we were talking about the major three, the Astros, the Rockets, and the Texans, and I settled in I was very confident in the Houston Rockets. And you and John McClain disagreed with me. You said both said the Houston Astros, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And McClain's reasoning was, well, look, there's just so much competition for the Rockets. I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there that they got to beat to win the title. If they got to go through the Clippers, they got to go through the Lakers, or they got to go through the Milwaukee Bucks out of the East, whatever the case may be, the competition's tough. And I still am confident in that if I was going to power rank them, I mean, I would say the Rockets, Astros, and Texans. That would be my 1-3 in terms of who I'm most confident that could win a title. I was really confident, surprised in Tony's confidence, and I think a lot of people, when they talk about this with the Houston Texans being championship ready, I know people around here are starving for that from a football sense. And I was reading a couple articles over the weekend, Cecil, where a lot of people have Deshaun Watson as their MVP favorite this year.
Really?
Well, MVPs don't play on 9-7 teams, 10-6 teams, and are one and dones in the playoffs, you know, routinely. That just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, that's real.
I appreciate it. And do I think Deshaun has the capability of winning an MVP one year? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I think he's got to have the team around him. And I don't think coaching and, you know, philosophically, like scheme-wise, I don't think that stuff can hold him back, which I feel has kind of held this team back. That's the reason why I'm not that confident in the Texans right now.
I think I was Astros, Texans, Rockets. I think Rockets were last on my list. I weren't too
Rockets
sold on them.
Last.
Yeah, I think they were last on my list. But to go back to Tony, number one, I love her confidence, right? And I'm looking at all the cities with multiple pro sports teams. Well, really, every city have a sports team. This city has the best chance to do it. If you look at the list of teams, Atlanta, they got the Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Hawks, and the Atlanta Falcons. You, all three teams are not going to win the championship there, right? Obviously, because the Hawks are not in there. Baltimore has the Orioles and the Ravens. New England, you know what I mean? New England has the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Celtics. That's a decent chance, but I don't see that happening. Chicago, you got the White Sox, the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks. They have had success.
But if you're power ranking, Boston's got to be up there.
Boston's got to be up there. Detroit, no. Houston, I think Houston would be number one. The L.A., you got the Rams and Chargers, Dodgers, Angels, Lakers, Clippers. They'll probably be up there some type. They got so many teams. The Miami, no. You got the Heat, Dolphins, Marlins, no. Minnesota.
I mean, no, I'm not putting L.A. up there because of the Chargers, and I'm not putting Minnesota up there because of the Twins. I mean, the Twins, you know.
Washington, no.
Kind of synonymously to the Rockets conversation, you know, out of baseball, you have so much competition out of the American League.
Yeah.
You know, given the Astros, the Yankees, and the Red Sox already, not even talking about the Indians, and that's still a pretty good squad coming out of the Central right now.
I just think, Tony, for her confidence to be so high, you look at the states, I mean, the cities, it's a possibility. They have the best chance.
I think a lot of fans feel that way, and they should feel that way.
Now, will it happen? I'm not saying it'll happen.
Right.
But they got a good shot.
It could. Like, this is a special time in Houston sports. Mm. I mean, if you really think about just the star power across our sports teams here, I mean, my gosh, it could be the best it's ever been in terms of star power. I mean, you'd have to go back to probably like the 80s when you were talking about like Earl Campbell and the Oilers and Olajuwon of the Rockets. And I don't even know if they coexisted at the same time. I think Campbell was a New Orleans Saint in like 86, and Olajuwon didn't burst onto the scene here till around 84, 85 when he was drafted out of U of H. But, I mean, Houston had a lot of star power in the 80s with Nolan Ryan and Mike Scott on the Astros. And I mean, you had some really good players across the sport landscape in the city, never to what it is right now. I mean, you're talking like legitimate superstars with Harden and Westbrook and Watt and Watson and, you know, with the Houston Astros. I mean, my God, they're littered with, you know, potential faces of the game on it, and George Springer and Jose Altuve and another possible up-and-coming with Yordan Alvarez, not even to mention Greinke and Verlander. I mean, it's a great time in Houston sports. You should be very confident. And before this pandemic mess hit, I mean, I was as confident as anybody when you were talking about like three of those sports teams making a legitimate run to an NBA title. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. What do you guys think? Coming up next, 9 o'clock hour, final hour, Cam Newton with a couple of doozies last night on Instagram. I would not use the word humble ever in the same sentence as Cam Newton, but he likes it. We'll let you hear from him next at Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.